This week, the Bridgeport Police Department provided a major update to a nearly 25-year-old cold case regarding the disappearance of a 10-year-old girl, Bianca LeBron. And to give us more on this, we are checking in now with the Bridgeport Police Department, specifically talking to Detective Jeff Holtz. And Detective Holtz, thank you so much for giving us the time. I want to obviously talk about the technology here to be able to age this case and keep it top of mind. But first, talk about this case and what we know. What happened to this little girl?
So thanks for having me, Melissa. This case goes back to 2001. Bianca LeBron was a student at the Elias House School on Clinton Ave. And your listeners may be familiar with that school. It's now an apartment building, but it's right across the street from the old Bassett High School on Clinton Ave. So the date was November 7, 2001, at approximately 8:30 that morning. There are various statements from witnesses. Some say she was online waiting to get into the school. Other witnesses have said she told the teacher that she was going shopping with her uncle, and there are witnesses that say she was last seen getting into a two-toned Ford Econoline beige and brown van, and she was never seen again. So this case has been investigated by the Bridgeport Police Department since 2001. It has been in the hands of numerous detectives. People have retired over the years. So it's sort of been passed down. Police got information in 2009 that Bianca LeBron may have been buried in a specific area of Seaside Park in West Beach. At that time, the police department excavated that area and did not find anything. A couple of years ago, the detective who now has the case, Laura Azevedo-Razouk, got information that she may have been entombed in the basement of a home. The homeowner cooperated with the investigation, and part of the basement was excavated, and nothing was found there. So that's kind of the background of the case.
It's just so devastating. And what's amazing, though, is you're starting to see more and more, not just in Connecticut, but across the country, more and more cold cases have new light, have, you know, some new life into them. Talk about the new progression image that now shows Bianca at the age of 34. How did you guys do that?
So that's really coming from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And I'm sure many of your listeners have heard about that organization. And as I said at the press conference, that organization is really the gold standard for advocating for missing and exploited children and trying to bring resolution to these cases and sometimes crimes that are in progress. So this is the second time they have produced an age progression photograph. They did one 7 years ago showing what Bianca looked like or would look like when she was 27, and the current one that we released this year in cooperation with the center depicts what Bianca LeBron would look like today as a 34-year-old woman. So based on the fact that this case really has gotten national attention, it really kind of hangs over the city of Bridgeport because, you know, it really is so tragic. We felt that we were going to release this photograph at a major event at a press conference, and we did that. I should also point out that this is a cold case, but it's a missing persons case. So what we're saying here is we're investigating every possible avenue. Bianca LeBron could be the victim of a homicide, but she could also be missing and alive. And our hope is that somebody sees this new age progression photograph, looks at it and says, hey, you know, I know somebody that looks like that or kind of looks like that. And they call into our tip line, which is 203-576-TIPS. And maybe it produces a lead that we can follow.
And I do know there's also a $62,000 reward for information leading to the closure in this case. And we have Detective Holtz here with the Bridgeport Police Department. So does this image now, Detective Holtz, does that go all across the country? Like, other than obviously here in Connecticut and our media news outlets, who sees this image?
So the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children has been in contact with the Detective Bureau, and we're coordinating with them the local release and the national release. The National Center is going to help us distribute this photo nationally, and we're going to try and get it distributed down in Puerto Rico, because Bianca LeBron's family is from Puerto Rico. So there's a chance if she's alive. Some people have said she might be in Puerto Rico. As a matter of fact, Detective Acevedo Rasuk, a couple of years ago, got a tip from Puerto Rico that there was a woman down there with the similar name. She got family DNA from the LeBron family and went down there, and the woman cooperated, and she was not Bianca. So, yeah, it's the local release that we're handling here, as well as there's going to be a national release, and hopefully down to Puerto Rico as well.
And I believe when you guys had your press conference earlier in the week, Bianca's family was there.
They were. They were there. They've been really kind of, I don't want to say supporters, just really advocates for Bianca. Her mom was there. A niece who has never met Bianca LeBron spoke. It's very difficult for the family. They've worked with us, you know, to keep this case in the forefront of the public's mind. Detective Acevedo Rasuk has really been a champion of this case. It's very difficult on the family. They've been through a lot, obviously. You know, they're very guarded. And, you know, so it's really, really tough on them. And Wednesday was a very, very, you know, emotional day for them, as everybody might expect.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, and the other thing, as you mentioned, Detective Holtz, is we don't know, obviously, where Bianca is. I mean, obviously, there's the hope that she is alive. But the other side of it is, you know, when you keep bringing attention to something, if there is somebody who did something awful to this woman, that it gets to a point where they either come forward or somebody says something. Right. I mean, the goal here is that this family can have proper closure and at least know what happened to this little girl. I mean, that's the goal here. So, you know, hopefully when with this type of technology and keeping this story relevant, the family gets answers sooner rather than later. Hold on one second, Detective Holtz, because when we come back, I want to talk about in general something that started just about 2 years ago, which was the cold case video series, Park City Confidential. This is the first time I had you on the show was to talk about this. We are chatting with Detective Jeffrey Holtz of the Bridgeport Police Department. And this week we saw an updated photograph that could generate some new leads in the case of the disappearance of 10-year-old Bianca LeBron, now would be 34 years old. And certainly we'll link more of that information to our website, voiceofct.com. We'll attach it to Detective Holtz, his podcast at the end of the show. I want to go back to one of the first times you and I spoke on this show, though, Detective, and it was about Park City Confidential. Park City Confidential was something that would really help kind of move cold cases forward. The Bridgeport Police Department Homicide Unit kind of took this new approach. I want to say it was in 2024 when the first episode was released. This was kind of self-produced cold case videos, and it was part of a series. Is that still continuing, and how has it been doing?
Yeah, so thank you for bringing it up. You are correct. It started in 2024. And I should point out at the top that I need to thank Chief Roderick Porter for supporting the homicide unit and myself with this effort. So we've done three Park City Confidential videos. A fourth is about to drop within the next couple of weeks. And that will be on the case of Luis Gonzalez, who is a baseball star at Bassett High School, who was shot and killed in front of his parents' market on State Street back in 1990. So, the series has been recognized by the Federal Bureau of Investigation for its unique approach to these cold cases. And the hope, much with like the Bianca LeBron photograph, is to generate leads. Cold cases are very difficult. In one of the three that we've released so far, we did get additional tips that have moved the case forward. Myself and another detective traveled down to North Carolina to follow up on those leads. And I think that case is very close to getting across the finish line. So I think when we spoke previously, you know, because of the difficulty of cold cases, if we can do, I'm just throwing out random numbers here, 5 or 10 and close one case, that would be exceptional. So, it is moving forward. And we're very pleased with what has happened so far.
I was going to say, do you feel like, and I know you mentioned, first of all, this is not an easy feat. You're talking about creating self-produced videos and, you know, and it includes bringing up old footage and outlining the case and talking to people. I mean, these are pretty extensive videos that are being produced and then put out there. Have you found people are engaging with them and that it's bringing, you know, appropriate attention back to cases? Or do you find that the families or loved ones of these victims don't like it, to put it bluntly? Like, do you find that there's more good than bad since the series launched?
So what we do is when we get set to produce the next video, myself and my partners, we go over cases and determine which ones have a bit of solvability and also which cases fit into the multimedia presentation that would work. You know, cold cases in general, like if you go back to 2001, using Bianca LeBron as an example in that case, everybody says, well, 2001, not that long ago. That's how we look at it, right?
Mm.
Well, now every municipality has city cameras. They have license plate readers. You and probably your neighbors also have Ring doorbell cameras, right?
Yeah, it's a different time. You're right.
So when you go back to these old cases, that video is not there. And also, when people think of cold cases these days, because true crime is very popular and people follow it and they like to help us out, you know, most of them are solved with a piece of physical evidence that has DNA on it, or through genetic genealogy, which has really solved some very famous cases. But that process is very complicated. So that's what makes these cases difficult. As far as the families go, we always seek the family's approval first. And the ones that I put out, the family, you know, I reach out to them. Yeah, we're going to cooperate, whatever you need. Sometimes they want to speak on camera. Sometimes they don't. But since I've been a homicide detective, and I think most homicide detectives anywhere will tell you, these families want these cases solved. You know, the department in general gets calls on a regular basis from family members whose cases have not been solved, trying to keep these cases alive. And that's what we do. We want those people who call us to know that even if there's not a video on your case or there's not a press conference on your case, we still go over these cases all the time. Sometimes they're just stalled and there's nothing more we can do, but we're waiting for a tip. And that's why, to the people out there, your listeners, anybody that knows something about a cold case that maybe they're keeping in, times have changed, people change. And sometimes people that didn't want to talk in the past say, you know what, this needs to be solved and I'm going to make that call. And that's why, you know, I'm reaching out through you to your listeners and the public in general. Any cold case, Bianca LeBron, anyone, a Park City Confidential cold case, please call us. 203-576-TIPS. It's very important.
Absolutely. Detective Holtz, I want to thank you so much for what you do at the Bridgeport Police Department, and thank you for giving us the latest on the Bianca LeBron case, and certainly keep us posted on what happens next and keep us in the loop about Park City Confidential as well. Thank you so much.
Melissa, thank you for having me, and thanks for what you do as well.
No, not a problem at all. Detective Holtz, again, we appreciate it. And, you know, something he just said that's so important, which is not only the guts to even make an anonymous call if you know something, but, you know, this is something we talk about with the Vanessa Morales case a lot every year when the anniversary comes up out of Ansonia. Is that you may think a detail of that day or that week didn't matter, but it could be exactly what detectives are looking for. So if the morning or the day or the week of that you saw a car parked in your neighborhood and you thought, huh, I've never seen that car before, but that's not going to matter to police. That could literally be the missing puzzle piece. So even if you think something is insignificant, police may be able to, not for sure, but may be able to use that to crack the code in a cold case. So even if you think it's a minute, it's not important, it actually could be exactly what they're looking for. It may not be, but it also could be. So to make those calls, and remember, they are anonymous. So we will give you that that tip line that Detective Holtz gave before. We'll link that to his podcast as well at voiceofct.com.